The House will come to order. Members of the House, today is Wednesday, March 5th. This is the 18th day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Here. Anderson. Here. Bagby. Here. Berger. Berger. Blake. Here. Brechtel. Here. Brown. Here. Buchanan. Here. Childers. Here. Kraft. Here. Davison. Here. Dirks. Here. Dockstetter. Here. Edmonds. Edwards. Here. Esquivel F. Here. Esquivel K. Here. Gilmore. Gingery. Here. Goggles. Here. Hales. Here. Hallinan. Here. Hammonds. Here. Harshman. Harshman. Harvey. Here. Eichel. Here. Illaway. Here. Yagi. Here. Jones. Okay. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart, here. Lubno, here. Madden, here. Martin, here. McComey, here. Mercer, here. Meyer, here. Miller, here. Millen, here. Olson, here. Peterson, Philp, Korberg, here. Samuelson, here. Simlek, here. Shepperson, here. Simpson, here. Slater, here. Stewart, here. Stubson, here. Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Our blessing for the day will be offered by the Right Reverend Representative Rodney Pete Anderson. Representative Anderson.
Good morning, neither right nor reverend. In the book of Romans we read, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And in Proverbs it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That's our prayer this morning. So as we bow in prayer, Father in heaven, we're thankful for the instructions we have in your word. Thankful, Father, for the responsibilities that you give us, and how we pray that we will have be granted wisdom. Pray, Father, for each one of the legislators now as we draw to a close, as they travel, for their families. Pray for our servicemen and for our great country. How we ask now again, Lord, that your blessing will be upon us and in our deliberation, for we pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
The House will come to order. The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 4th, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millen.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members of the 59th, it's not very often that we have a UP conductor from Green River, Wyoming, who now lives in Cheyenne. When I first hired out, he taught me the ropes, how to stay safe while I was railroading. I want to introduce my good friend right up here, Mr. Dave Herman.
Representative Ken Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Over here in our north balcony, we have the Vice President of the Student Government at LCCC, Carl Aldrich.
Hey! Hey, Carl.
Mr. Speaker. Representative Korberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Is this an appropriate time to make an announcement?
Give us just 1 minute, if you would, Representative Korberg. Members of the House, today is a very special day indeed. 49 years ago, a blessed event occurred right here in Cheyenne, Wyoming. A sickly little baby boy, born 6 weeks premature, graced his parents and his family. A few years later, in 1999, this budding politician, believe it or not, the youngest in the legislature at that time, arrived back here in Cheyenne. Today is the birthday of a great son of Wyoming, our own majority floor leader, Colin L. Simpson. Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would just like to announce that your conference committee number one on Senate File 18 could not reach agreement.
Members of the House, our doctor for the day will be Dr. Omid Dilmaganian from Cheyenne. Our nurses of the day will be Peggy Beesenson and Beverly Jensen from the Wyoming State Hospital. Doctor and ladies, thank you very much for your service to the House and the state. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for the birthday wishes. It is hard to believe I was born two blocks from here 49 years ago, but... Mr. Speaker, I move third reading consent list of Senate File 26, Senate File 27, Senate File 31, Senate File 40, Senate File 47, Senate File 54, Senate File 62, Senate File 65, Senate File 83, and Senate File 84.
Are there any members wishing to remove any of the mentioned bills from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will read the bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 26, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to business entities being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 27, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to counties regarding county nuisance abatement authority being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 31, introduced by Senator Hastert, act relating to domestic violence counseling period being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 40, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code amendments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 47, introduced by the Select Developmental Program, an act relating to state institutions regarding the Wyoming State Training School amendments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 54, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to school finance, rebated, recapture, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 62, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to emergency medical technicians, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 65, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure, post-conviction relief petitions, DNA evidence, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 83, introduced by Senator Job, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 84, introduced by Senator Job, an act relating to the fireman's pension account amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 26, Senate File 27, Senate File 31, Senate File 40, Senate File 47, Senate File 54, Senate File 62, Senate File 65, Senate File 83, and Senate File 84 pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Childers. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Aye. Dirks. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquivel F, aye. Esquivel K, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubnow, aye. Madden, aye. Martin, McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Swanitzer Dan, aye. Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to Senate File 26, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 no. As to Senate File 27, are there any changes? Korberg, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Olson, aye to no. Miller, I to know. Gilmore, I to know. Teeters, I to know. Jones, I to know. Shepperson, I to know. Brechtel, I to know. Dockstetter, I to know. Philp, I to know. Davison, I to know. Wallace, I to know. Hallinan, I to know. White, I to know. Simlek, I to know. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 18 noes. As to Senate File 31, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 40, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 47, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 54, are there any changes? Wallace, aye to know. Hallinan, aye to know. Lubno, aye to know. Mercer, aye to know. Philp, aye to know. Olson, aye to know. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 6 noes. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dave, aye to know. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no. As to Senate File 65, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 83, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to Senate File 84, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 26, Senate File 27, Senate File 31, Senate File 40, Senate File 47, Senate File 54, Senate File 62, Senate File 65, Senate File 83, and Senate File 84 have passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12, introduced by Senator Peaster, an act relating to liquor licenses, dispensing rooms, products sold, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 12, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Eichel. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlek. Shepperson. Simpson. Slater. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Warren. White. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 12 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Fecht, an act relating to public health and safety regarding clandestine drug laboratories remediation.
There is an amendment. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one. What this does over on page 10, how the process works is that the incident commander has designated the building as uninhabitable. So if this is your home, they put a notice that you can't go back in, you can't use your home. They then issue the order. You have 20 days to file an answer saying, you know, they're wrong. You know, you got the wrong house. When you came, it was the house next door to me. You missed it, or for whatever reason, you want to come to court and argue that the order was incorrect. How it's set up right now on page 10 is you have 20 days to file an answer. Then once you filed an answer, then the court has another 20 days before they have to set the hearing for you to get into court. The 20 on the answer, you could actually shorten yourself. If you're the homeowner, it doesn't mean you have to wait the 20 days. You could file it the very first day. So the answer I'm not too worried about. What I was concerned about was in line 17 on page 10, it says the court shall order a hearing within 20 days from the date of filing the answer. Potentially that the court could wait the full 20 days before allowing you into court. So let's pretend you're a completely innocent party, that your house really isn't uninhabitable. They just accidentally picked the wrong house. It's the house next door or whatever. Bad hypothetical, but I can't think of a better one. So what I wanted to do is shorten that down a little bit. So all I'm doing is going from 20 down to 11. And 11, actually, there was some rhyme and reason to why I picked 11. Under the Wyoming Rules of Civil Procedure, when we compute time under Rule 6, whenever it's less than 11, so if it's 10 or less, you don't count weekends and holidays. If it's 11 or more, it's a straight number. So if it says 11, you actually count 11. So I didn't want to go less than 11 because then it actually turns back into actually being 20 because then you start skipping the weekends. So all I've done is lower that from 20 down to 11, 9 days. Now, one of the negatives potentially is the court could say, boy, you're really forcing us to get that in there real quickly. Part of our job, and we do this occasionally in the legislature, where we prioritize the docketing of the district court, and we do that with juvenile cases where we have given time limits on juvenile cases where we've told the court we consider juvenile cases to be your most important cases, so you'll have to do those before other cases. Same concept. If you're taking someone's home and ordering them out of it, we can reorder their docket and say these are important cases to the legislature. We want you to put these at the top of your docket. And the other reason for doing 11, it sort of stretched it into a second week. So let's say the judge is gone that week. It definitely gets you into the next week. So I think the judge can schedule it. So, again, I was just wanting to shorten down the time period to help out potentially an innocent homeowner.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question for the bringer. As I read this, it says, the court shall order a hearing within 20 days from the date of the filing of the answer. My question is, and now you want to shorten that to 11 days, and my question is that going to be 11 days to order a hearing or 11 days to have a hearing?
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Representative Gingrey.
And actually, the good gentleman just raised a good point, which is also problematic, but I can't fix the whole bill. I could fix what I could fix. He has a good point. I mean, potentially the court could read that. All they have to do is order the hearing within 11 days, and they could set the hearing for a year from now. Hopefully the courts won't do that. But again, my argument still stands that whether it's actually having the hearing or just simply ordering the hearing, in both circumstances, I think we need to have a provision in there to help the innocent homeowner that potentially is out there.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in accordance with Rule 9-3C, I make a motion that this bill be laid back for a day.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker, there is no other day. It's today, last day of third reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
I make a motion we lay it back for an hour. 9-3C.
Mr. Speaker, he's quick on his feet. Mr. Speaker, maybe we should confer. Rules should confer about this for a moment.
Could the Rules Committee convene up here at the desk? Members of the House, it was the ruling of your Rules Committee to move Senate File 19 to the bottom of today's regular list consideration. Therefore, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to insurance regarding health insurance clinical trials, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 24 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, Martin, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Horberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
Senate File 24, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 24 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to the Wyoming Public Library Endowment Challenge Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29. The relative relationship in terms of assessed evaluation between the various counties does change over time. Therefore, I respectfully offer this amendment, which allows for these changes, keeps the exact arrangement in the original bill, 9 counties with the least assessed valuation receiving a 3-to-1 match, 8 counties in the middle receiving a 2-to-1 match, 6 counties with the highest assessed valuation receiving a 1-to-1 match. This amendment also includes a hold harmless clause, which says that a county can move up the chain, but they will never fall back. And this program is set up to for the next 5 years. A lot can happen in 5 years. We have seen dramatic shifts in the past 5 years. So, Mr. Speaker, I believe this makes it a cleaner bill, and I stand for questions. If there are no questions, I call for the question.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I really appreciate the work that you've done on this, but I do have a question. I know a lot of us involved in fundraising, what you do is you get someone to commit to, instead of saying, give us $25,000, you'll say, would you pledge to give us $5,000 a year for 5 years? And that's not uncommon for people to do that. You get these big bumps and people commit to it, but each year they incrementally give you a pre-designated amount. And so how would this work with that? Would the match be set in the first year they made the pledge, or would it change in the years that they actually gave the money, or how do you envision that particular thing being handled?
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The way this is set up, I would assume that, to use an example, you're in a county where you receive in the coming year a 1-to-1 match, but and you have a donor who says, based on the fact that this endowment is going to double my money for your benefit, I'm going to pledge $5,000 for the next 5 years, and at the end of that time, so in the meantime, they've pledged $5,000. The only thing that could possibly happen is just going to make it better for the donor and the library, because the only thing that could possibly happen is that that county might lose assessed valuation and they would get a 2-to-1 match instead of a 1-to-1 match, or they might even get a 3-to-1 match if their value fell that much. So when they turn in their match at the end of that time, they would get the 2-to-1 or the 3-to-1 match, whatever they qualify for. So the worst case scenario is that they're matched dollar for dollar. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to respond to a question. What happens if it goes the other way? That's what the hold harmless clause says. It says once you've gone up, you can never go down. So if you are in a 2-to-1 category now, you will never be lower than that. So your donors are guaranteed that they're always going to get at least a 2-to-1 match for their dollars. And if, in the case of a county where the values drop to the point that they actually qualified for a 3-to-1 match, then they just get a bigger bang for their buck. I think this is a win-win.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 29 has failed. Division being called. All of those in favor of third reading amendment number one, please stand. All of those opposed to third reading amendment number one, please stand. Third reading amendment number one to Senate file 29 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number two. Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number two.
Seeing no objection, third reading amendment number two to Senate file 29 has been withdrawn. Senate file 29 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F., Esquivel K., Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
Senate File 29, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 29 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance amendments being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 70 and ask you to vote aye. Mr. Speaker, on first reading, we had quite a lively debate about instructional facilitators. And the debate came down to dollars and cents and the ability to show that they really make a difference. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think we've went back through the research, found the information that was called for about what professional instructional facilitators do. And the first one is from the PICUS report. Part of it. It says the impact of coaches as part of the professional development program is very large. Joyce Calhoun, 1996, and Joyce and Showers in 2002 found that when teachers had sufficient time to engage in professional development that was embedded in classrooms with the aids of instructional coaches, teacher practice changed significantly, with effect sizes of 1.68 in the transfer of training classroom to the classrooms, 1.25 for skill level objectives, and 2.71 for knowledge level objectives. Effects were almost negligible without the classroom-based coaching. Yesterday in our discussion with tutors was passed out on this floor a chart that shows the effects of these various items. We were very pleased that tutors in the classroom showed an increase of 0.4 to 2.5 in student achievement. Ladies and gentlemen, this one starts at 1.25 and stops at 2.7. Significant increase in the student's learning ability. I've heard in this building time and time again, we need to see results from what we're starting to get student achievement. Are we seeing this? We funded in Afton a pilot project for a program called Fusion. And we'll probably talk about this a little later. The results of this type of instruction, the scores were improved dramatically. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you not to focus on these dollars. I'm not going to stand here and tell you we may not have overfunded education. Our legislature said, we want to start teacher salaries at higher than was recommended. We want to start average teacher salaries at higher. We want to have smaller classroom sizes. We want to have a lot of these other things that drove the price of our education system up. But education is about the kids. And here's something that shows that I believe we're getting the bang for the buck. Most of you have probably received a lot of emails, but one of them really stuck in my mind. You've all heard about how the federal Title I is falling. A lot of the programs that the schools were funding with these federal dollars are going away. Lights on programs, a lot of after school programs. Well, many of our schools were using some of these monies for instructional facilitators, because they aren't funded fully in the model. Now, we are putting a significant amount of money, but what we're putting in is only two-thirds of what was recommended by Picus and Associates, because it was such an important component. We pulled it out because we didn't think our schools had enough of the right kind of teachers and enough money. And with that, I will sit down and let others talk about some of the other things. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this amendment and just want to talk to the body for a minute. This is something, obviously, politics makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it? This is something that I'm passionate about, and I wasn't at first, and then got quite a few phone calls and actually heard from the people on the ground. It's not very often that I get a phone call at 10:30 at night from a teacher. So I rise in support of this, and I just want to read something that I got from our director of instruction here in this county. He writes, the PICUS model recommendations cited research that shows that instructional facilitators coupled with quality professional development has the highest effect size when it comes to student achievement. It seems ineffective to fund the professional development and not fully fund the instructional facilitators. The program is being funded at $9 million less than the PICUS model, so any data we do gather will be skewed and will likely not show the same large effect sizes because we are not implementing the model with fidelity. We need the additional funding to support the numbers of instructional facilitators called for by PICUS. The data is being gathered and the programs are being monitored, and the longitudinal data will show the effect of the work of our instructional facilitators. We need to fund the entire instructional facilitator model, not stop funding and watch a good effect go down the drain. And that was just some of the passionate debate that I heard about this issue. I heard from instructors on the ground doing it here who feel that it's giving them incredibly good results. And while I know we all have great concerns about the funding in education, the future of funding in education, and where we're going, what scares me more is not getting the results that we want out of our children. All the work we do in this body, everything that we do, will have very little effect if we can't properly educate our kids. They are basically our future. From everything we do in minerals to any other committee, this is pretty darn important. So I'm going to support this, and I hope that you all will as well. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the calls we had as we got into this debate was
called for some numbers and statistics, and so I wrote home and asked for that specifically. We are the district. The good representative noted earlier that benefited from this. I came over here about 3 or 4 years ago. Some of you were on Education Committee. We gave a presentation. The Education Committee was very impressed with what was presented as far as an instructional facilitator and what could be done. So I wrote home and I said, give me some numbers, give me an example of what's working for you at home. So using an instructional facilitator, they addressed some concerns they had with writing. And looking at two of our elementary schools and the proficiency scores they had in regards to trying to bring their writing scores up, this is what they told me. 55 to 90%, 57 to 81%, 49 to 92, 74 to 79, that was a smaller one, but 28 to 80, and 48 to 75. Using an instructional facilitator, they were able to improve their writing scores drastically on and for this amendment.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday, I think I spoke a little prematurely. I am on for the amendment. I had some less than warm, fuzzy feelings when I met with our school district. So I think I let some feelings deep down that I was harboring affect my vote. I'm definitely in for the, I can't say that word, instructional facilitators. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly we all want to support superior instruction. But how come we can't get the figures, what they're doing with that vast amount of money that they want for groundskeepers that they're not using, they're using for other things, and we don't get any accounting for that, but still we can get these other things, and certainly we got to be for better education regardless of what happens.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple weeks ago, the consultants that were hired to design the model for the legislature, they were our employees, had the opportunity during one of the noon sessions that anyone who had any questions from the legislature could walk through the model. When we first adopted the model, part of what we did also is that there would be intensive research to find out how the model was being used. And I was there and two other legislators were there, and we spent 2 hours listening to them. And I really want to thank the other two legislators for being there. They were available to answer all of those questions. And here we are at the end of the legislature asking those kinds of things. But what we have before us is an amendment that's dealing with the concept of instructional facilitators. And so what I want to go back to just very briefly is what we're looking at is the fundamental question of why we're here dealing with education. And that is we were told the legislature was responsible for coming up with a cost-based model. And so everything that you see in front of you has to be cost-based. So when people say, well, there's enough money in the model, go get that. Everything else in the model is based on cost. And if you take money from anything else, you're taking it away from what the consultants said we needed to do. The other aspect of it, besides being cost-based, is it had to be research-based. And so when the other day you asked all of us, the instructional facilitators or coaches, what research was that based on? There was extensive research done and accumulated by our consultants. And so before we ever adopted it, we had the research to start with. But I think the fundamental question you have to ask yourself when you're looking at, do we want to move towards fully doing the cost-based model, which was we're only at two-thirds of what our consultants told us we should do, what would be the reason you would want to spend more money and move towards their full idea? And the question you ask is this: do you want to enhance learning? If you want to enhance learning, the research says you need to fully fund instructional facilitators. We as a body have chosen to just two-thirds fund it. If you truly want to have our kids learning more and to get more from your schools, then you need to spend more money to move towards full implementation of this model, because research says it works. For that reason, I would respectfully request that you support the amendment before you.
Representative Harshman.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just got the giggles back here. I haven't been back at this mic, so I thought I'd come get a different perspective. Plus, it feels kind of like the train's running that way, so I wanted to get out of it. But plus, there's peanut M&Ms back here, and you're close to the water fountain. Okay, I just wrote some notes down. First speaker talked about, the good chairman talked about tutors, and tutors aren't the issue, really. And the problem with tutors in the model is tutors aren't being hired. I think I pointed that out to you. So we don't know the effect size of tutors because they're not being utilized. The money's going somewhere else in the model. So they're not being hired. I don't think anybody's questioning the effectiveness of instructional facilitators. I'm certainly not. It was in, as the good chairman pointed out, it's in some of the documentation, the same report that I handed out to you yesterday, just in a different form. I had the little square graph, showed along with full-day kindergarten are some of the highest effect sizes. This isn't about even overfunding education. It's not about that. It's certainly not about Title I. I didn't know Title I dollars could be used to hire instructional facilitators. That's new to me. It's not about the TAP or the Fusion model or any other model that a school district embraces for teacher improvement. And so it's not about any of that. The question is whether we're going to add to this program a 37% increase in 1 year. Now, we know some districts in the state are doing this extremely well. Others are not. It's going to take time, like with any new program. So if we hold the current House position, we're going to go and probably compromise out somewhere at about an 18% increase. I think that's a fair deal. I think that's an appropriate deal. And keep in mind this $6 million, is a one-year appropriation. I think where we're at is good. I think our House position is good. I think we'll compromise out in the end very well. And I just one little history lesson. I was on education when we adopted this. The reason this is outside the model is not because it was so effective we wanted to make sure it was outside the model that it was done right. It's outside the model because this was the last cat on the train. We weren't sure we could fund it. We thought we'd gone a bridge too far. And we thought, okay, we're going to fund this at about two-thirds and try to get it started outside the model. It wasn't because, you know, it was just the fact that that was where the money was at, and we made some choices back then. So I'm not arguing against it. I think we have three of them in my building, second, third largest school in the state, doing good work. They're working their tails off. But I just think we can increase this slowly over time, and as it becomes more effective, it'll be a good program, but I don't think a 37% increase. I haven't seen many of those increases around here in any program. So I'd urge you to stand with our current House position, vote no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want anybody here to believe that I don't think instructional facilitators are effective. They are effective. There's no question about that. If you recall the last time I was at the microphone on this issue, I think the school districts know they're effective. And they do have a grant, a block grant, that they can take money to enhance the two-thirds that we've put in there to make it 100% within their district. And then that increases the cost-based portion of the education, and we'll get into the future funding models in the appropriate way. If we don't believe that they should take those block grants and use that money where it's the most effective place for them to increase the quality of education of their students, then we've made a mistake on local control and block grants. I have a lot of faith in the local school districts making the right choices with this flex that we've given in the block grants, and that was my point. I did ask a question that was never specifically answered. It was answered rather obtusely a minute ago on the cost base issue. Some districts are enhancing the amount that this instructional facilitators money would grant to the school district so that they can broaden the amount of that application. That's what I think our school districts ought to be doing with this block grant and this funding that we've provided them. So I'm not against instructional facilitators. I think they're doing a job. I think the evidence is very strong on that. I think if the school districts see it that way, they could find a way to cut out something else and load that one up, and then that cost base goes into the formula going forward. So I'd urge resistance to this amendment, not because of instructional facilitators, but because of the concept of block grants so that our local school districts can make the decisions on what's best for their students.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Got a lot of thoughts about education right now, sitting through education for summer and listening to all the pros and cons and what's going on. I'm a little bit concerned. I certainly support education, and the funding is, you know, $1.1 billion. It's just staggering what we do. We did give a cost of living increase, 4.3% increase, as everything went up, and that doesn't have a lot to do with it, but we're not underfunding education, and I think there are, as with all agencies, we funded so well when we had money that when we need something else, we're just used to coming to the legislature and saying, give us more. And I think my big plan for this whole thing is we've just got to hold the line on our spending, and not only for education, which we're talking about right now, and we're talking about facilitators right now, but we're talking about the whole thing. The budget, $7.8 billion, where's it going to be next year? If coal or the mineral industry, any of it, takes a little dip, we're in serious trouble. And everybody just keeps coming and saying, well, this is a good program, this is a good need, and I agree, they are. Getting back to the facilitators, I just wonder what our principals, you know, they should have a big role in helping new teachers, encouraging. So I wonder what principals are doing here, and we do have good facilitators. I will tell you, I had some long-time teachers that have written, just got some emails and said, don't fund facilitators and don't fund school or the food program anymore. But I think they're way in the minority. Most of the emails, of course, are being for this and funding. And as everybody said, the facilitators are good. They aren't funded fully. Two-thirds are funding, as we've heard. They are funded at $32 million right now, and I guess my thing I want to live or end with is all agencies need to live within their budgets, and the time of coming and asking for more and more is coming to a close, and I support the facilitators, and I think I am going to vote for this right now, but I will do it with some reservations that in the interim studies, all school districts need to learn that we just don't have the bottomless pit. And we fund it now, and once you put it in, are you going to be able to take it back? And where is our budget going to go? So I have some real reservations with the whole process, and I hope through the work we do, we can just make it better. I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I do make a few comments about this, I would like to, pursuant to House Rule 13-3A, call for the ayes and noes to be recorded on this amendment.
the names of the seconders? Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. I don't want to repeat things that have already been said, but I do want to tell you a couple of additional reasons why I am on and in favor of this amendment. I have heard and heard we need to look at student achievement. We need to look at what's going to work for our kids. We're pouring all this money in when we're not seeing any results. Let's see some results. Here's something that gives results. The Good House Education Chair gave you effect sizes, and I want to just kind of underscore how amazing those effect sizes are. They range from 1.25 to 2.70. And do you know what's considered a substantial effect size? 0.5. It's that much above what we would consider a substantial effect size. We've got something that's working. I'm hearing from teachers all over the state about how well it's working, so much that districts will use their general funds to continue the instructional facilitators at the rate that they would like to have them funded. Instructional facilitators are almost always the most educated and the most experienced staff members. Hence, they're at the top of the salary scale. So they require additional funding. We right now are funding this model at $9 million less than the PICUS recommendations were. We're funding at two-thirds. This is something that works. We have finally found something that is working to improve the quality of education for our students. I would suggest to you if there was even one component that we would want to fund fully, it would be the instructional facilitators. On and in favor of this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think when we see political courage in action, we ought to support it. Also, I think we have had good reason given by our colleague from Natrona County. There's going to be a compromise on this amendment, or there's going to be a compromise on his amendment should this amendment be turned down. I think we ought to tighten our belt, show our courage, and vote no on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I came to this mic because I freely admit my peanut M&M addiction. But on the subject of the amendment, we are always concerned about whether we're spending our education money well. So I don't understand why we're debating fully funding something we know works. It seems like the fiscally responsible thing would be to continue to fund a program that improves education. But mainly I want to come today just to share one quick statistic from my own school district. And this is according to our consultant study. One of our LCSD number one elementary schools, math achievement increased 63% and reading increased 69%. Those are tremendous numbers. But the problem in my school district, and I'm sure the problem elsewhere, is we don't have enough of these folks. We know it works. We know it improves education. So the fiscally responsible thing to do is spend money on a good program to improve education. Thank you.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, for the record, since we're going to take the ayes and noes, I want my vote to be known quite clearly. I support facilitators, and I think they do a great job. But this is my 12th year down here, and I can distinctly remember from my first year that the education issue was going to be a continuing process and more money every year. And it was made quite clear to me that it was going to be rather expensive. And folks, it is very expensive. This isn't about whether the facilitators are good or bad. It's the idea on how much are we going to spend now. And as we've already heard from the good chairman from appropriation, we've only got so much money to spend on and against the amendment.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment, I'm somewhat like the representative from House District 18. He has reservations, and I do too. I have one. And in that reservation, instructional facilitators have made a great deal of difference for the funds that we have provided them in the past and the funds that we're going to provide them in the future. In my area, instructional facilitators have improved reading and math and graduation rates, but we still rank at the bottom of that spectrum. And it's going to take more educational funds to pull our ranking up. On and for the amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to make sure it's clear in everybody's mind, this is not a cut in any funding. There's $32.2 million per biennium on this, and the proposal is to take that to add nearly $12 million per biennium. So about a 37% increase. So it's not a cut in funding. And, you know, and I'm not going to talk about what might happen, but we all know how conference committees work, and we're going to meet somewhere in the middle, probably an 18% increase. It's not about effectiveness. And I would say it's not about the growth of education spending. You know, as I've passed out to many of the growth over the last 10 years, education comes in as one of the lowest at 116% growth, where general government's been 679% growth. So I'm not worried about that. And I think this body, this legislature, has proven itself. We don't have to vote a certain way on a $12 million deal. We've proven. We've put our votes and our work where our rhetoric is. We've funded education to a level that is awesome. That's going to build this state like never heard of, undreamed of. And so I'm very proud of that. And I'm really honored to have been lucky enough to be here during this time to be a part of that. So we could all hold our chins up. And the deal is whether we need, and I would say this, somebody says it's a pilot program. I don't think this pilot's going away. This pilot light is not burning out. And so I wouldn't worry about it leaving or decreasing or anything else. It's going to steadily go up until it reaches full funding. So the question is, do we do a 37% leap this year and then more the next, or we just gradually keep doing this so we maintain the effectiveness and maintain that it's, you know, implemented in a proper way. So, you know, hold your heads up. We've done a great job on education. We're going to continue to. And that's really our legacy of this legislature. And so I'd encourage you to vote no, and it's going to be all right. So it'll come up tomorrow. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I really want to compliment the last speaker. We all know he's an outstanding teacher and individual. And every day after we're all finished here, he's putting his life on the line working with kids. And I think that's the finest career that anybody could have. They're touching the future by touching kids and making their lives better. So I have absolute respect. We're just talking about money, but we're also talking about, do you really want to improve learning? And what you're doing with the issue before you is we have this body of knowledge about how we improve learning. And we have classroom teachers, and there is not a link between the two. They can have in-services, they can do all kinds of things, but what we know is the way that it works is if they have direct instruction, if they have a coach, an instructional facilitator, who works directly with them in their classroom and bridges from the new information, technology, how can they use it in their classroom to improve student learning? What the consultants did is they recommended full funding for this originally at $24 million. We took a risk in recalibration and said it's the one place we did not follow the consultants' advice, which was a legal risk. And we said we will start with two-thirds. to see how it goes. Well, you've obviously heard from people around the state, it is working. They want more. So what we're doing is we're moving incrementally towards the original full funding that our consultants asked us to do. So we're moving from 66% funding to 80% funding of the model. That's what we're trying to do. It is incremental, and this is the way to improve student learning. So I certainly hope that you will approve this incremental approach to directly improving learning among our students.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be quick. There was two or three things raised. Groundskeepers are inside of the model. Some school districts claim they're not getting enough from the groundskeepers. There are other school districts where obviously they're getting too much money. So this cannot be spread all the way. The Title I can be spent and has been being spent for five facilitators, and it is in Natrona County I. Back to the money. This money that we're talking about here comes from school foundation funds. Don't get mixed up between what we've been talking about for days and days on the budget, the general fund. This is school foundation funds. It's all money, and it's all an increase in spending. I will not deny that. But I seem to hear some confusion out here on the floor of where this money's all coming from. Mr. Speaker, with that, I'll end the debate. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70, pursuant to House Rule 13-3A. The ayes and nays having been called, the chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Esquivel F. Aye. Esquivel K. Aye. Gilmore. Aye. Gingery. Aye. Goggles. Aye. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. No. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. No. Harvey. Aye. Eichel. No. Illaway. Aye. Yagi. Aye. Jones. No. Jorgensen. No. Landon. Aye. Lockhart. No. Lubno. Madden. Madden. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Semlich. Shepperson. Simpson. Slater. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. No. Thompson. Aye. Throne. Aye. Wallace. Aye. Warren. Aye. White. No. Zwanitzer Dan. Aye. Zwanitzer Dave. No. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 38 ayes, 22 noes.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 70 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70, and pursuant to Rule 13-3A, I would like to call for the ayes and noes.
The names of the seconders, please. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment restores the training requirement for teachers in the summer and extended day program that was deleted yesterday. It does not touch the inclusion of the more expansive language in terms of including other remedial methods. Without this amendment, the department will not be able to require any training in this arena, and it has made an incredible difference in the quality of teaching, not only in summer school, but also those techniques have been brought to regular school as well. Training under the auspices of the summer school has provided over 1,000 teachers with their required annual PT SSB training. Teachers love it and ask for it over and over. On your desk is a sheet that gives you an indication. It looks like this. That sheet gives you an indication of what teachers thought. Let me tell you, we had responses from students, from parents, and from administrators that talked about this program in even more glowing terms. We've had a couple of teachers who cited the training as transforming and some of the best they had ever had, regardless of the fact that they had taught school for over 25 years. From another Brain Basics Conference evaluation in 2006, which is not in your materials, but which really jumped out at me, this is one of the top two or three conferences I've attended in my 45 years of service and appears to be a major step forward in moving the education of our youngsters to the next level. Take a look at the answers quoted from one of the surveys to question number one. Have you changed the way you instruct students based on information you received in your training? Yes. And one even goes on to elaborate. I feel that I am a master teacher regarding at-risk students, but some of the information that I received on current research and brain-based instruction caused me to incorporate more use of both predictive and non-predictive music into my content area. The amendment adopted yesterday is not in keeping with the experience of teachers on the ground throughout the state and does not coincide with what they're asking us to do. Also attached to that packet of information is the press release that accompanied the launching of the Craig and Susan Thomas Foundation. Some of us attended in the rotunda yesterday. The Craig and Susan Thomas Foundation is dedicated to the legacy of helping Wyoming's young people one mind at a time. One of the core missions is scholarships for at-risk students, kids who can't qualify for the Hathaway. Susan Thomas said, "My husband and I have spent a lifetime watching out for those young people who would otherwise fall through the cracks. We want to provide alternatives to the traditional learning cycle. We want at-risk learners to succeed." The Thomases are not the only people who have recognized that the traditional regular school system just does not serve well many students, that the state has a vested interest in focusing on those students to find ways to help them be successful, to reduce dropout rates, to help them become happy, productive citizens of the future. Throughout the years of school litigation, the Supreme Court, time after time, identified programs for at-risk students as one of our state's top priorities. Even though we have received sign-off from the court, the expectation is clearly expressed that we continue our focus in this area. And, in fact, this Senate File 70 does include the mandate to the department to continue to study effects to review, analyze, evaluate the dozens of interventions provided for inside of the model. Instructional facilitators, reading tutors, all of the risk resources and components within the block grant model supporting at-risk students. This outside of the model, summer school and extended day program has evolved over the last 5 or 6 years to address this need. School systems were doing these things to help their academically at-risk students, but the funding model could not pay for anything outside of the traditional school day. Thus, we have this program narrowly focused on those students who are not making good academic progress for whatever reason and seeks to provide the outside, additional, innovative, research-driven, alternative ways to reach students and take them to a higher level. It's a program that has been amazingly successful. In 2007, Natrona performed an in-depth analysis of the summer school effect on students in grades 3 through 5 over a 2-year period. Students were analyzed in 4 groups. All students, free and reduced lunch students, special ed students, and summer school students. Across this two-year period, the growth in reading associated with summer school was 51% of a standard deviation over all students. A strikingly accelerated growth rate, a very substantial effect size. In math, the growth rate was 37% of a standard deviation over all the students. The contrast is particularly dramatic when you realize that the free and reduced lunch kids lost ground at about the same rate as the summer school kids gained ground, essentially resulting in the equivalent of a full grade level. They gained a full grade level over 2 years. Because the summer school and extended day program is outside the model, it's the only program where we can demonstrate real growth using real data to chart student progress. Training of teachers is intrinsic to the continued success of the program. Please support this effort to restore this vital component with your I vote today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dirks.
Mr. Speaker, as the feisty and fiery representative from Goshen County told us early in this bill, there are several items going on, and it's certainly not my intention to add extra weight to this bill, to put it in any way in jeopardy with yesterday's discussion. Boy, these trainings are definitely exciting. And I've been reminded through some emails from the State Department that I have not only attended those, but complimented them and recommended them, and that is so true. I didn't want anything I said yesterday to in any way indicate that there are some exciting things going on with the innovations in education. And that's what we're hearing at the Brain Basics Conference. We hear so much, not only from national educators, but from people who are studying the brain, Harvard professors and so forth, who will come and talk to us about the latest in brain research. One thing they have not yet told us is that someone has cornered the market on instruction and learning, and someone has cornered the market on the best way to educate. What they tell us is that the more we learn about the mind, the more what the poets told us years ago was true. In so many ways, there really is not a foolproof way to advance human nature. And so, as we look at this amendment today, it is not my intention to harm summer school. Yesterday we had an exciting discussion, and so many exciting things are already happening. We have amendments coming up to take a new and innovative look at summer school. And so, Mr. Speaker, I would say these seeds of innovation, they grow so much better in fields of incentive than they ever do in mandates. And that is what I will continue to say as we discuss educational policy on this floor. So in the mood of compromise on this floor, since we're taking the ayes and nays, I say vote aye.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 7. Pursuant to House Rule 13-3A, a roll call vote has been requested. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan.
No.
Childers. Childers. Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Davison. Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jones.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Samuelson.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Childers.
No.
Davison.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Anderson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 38 ayes, 22 noes.
By your vote, you have adopted third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 70. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 70, Senate File 70. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've gone back and forth on this food service issue, and watching this pendulum swing from side to side, I thought it was important to take one more look and really get an understanding and have a little discussion about what we're doing here. What this amendment is proposing is to delete a former amendment that was a second reading amendment that actually deleted a former amendment, which was a committee of the whole amendment. And what that amendment did was delete a part of the bill that starting on 37, and I'd just like to take a minute to look at that. That has to do with food service. It starts out that there was a 2005 cost of education study, and it was premised upon the recommendation at that time that district food services be self-supporting. In 2006, there was data collected by the Department of Education on the revenues and expenditures in that area. Inevitably, they found deficits. This is not unusual. And I want to bring to your attention the white piece of paper that I had distributed, and that's from one of the school districts up in Sheridan County. And basically it shows we were talking about data, the current price today for elementary students, $1.75, for middle school and high school students, $2 a meal. They're losing, you can see how it's subsidized by the federal government. You can see that they're losing about 46 cents a meal. So for that many meals that they serve, that's around $45,000, $46,000. That's a choice that I was actually on the school board of this district, and what a great experience. That's not unusual. Most school districts will run a slight deficit. Probably what will happen in the next year or so with this school board is they'll struggle with that. They'll raise the price 25 cents or something a meal, literally the cost of a cup of coffee a week, and it'll continue to run a slight deficit. 2 years from now, they'll raise it another 25 cents. That's just the usual and common business. But I thought you'd be interested in seeing that from that particular district. So then we were talked about the data that was being collected in this bill, and little B said that in order to augment amounts available that are within the education block grant, that they're proposing a cost-based model. And to qualify, and then there's this little Romanette I and so forth. And it says where the department's going to approve a strategic plan. They wanted to make sure that districts were in compliance with federal, state, and district regulations and policies. I would say that they are. That was one of the things that we wanted to make sure of. They wanted periodic program evaluations. School boards do that. They review how they're doing. They wanted financial management. That's what business managers do. In Little 5, they wanted a meal counting system. Well, in my day, we called that the lunch lady. These systems are already in place. Then what this section calls for is for school districts to apply for financial assistance in little C at the bottom of 39 and over on to 40, that financial assistance, they're going to qualify the number of meals based on the federal National School Lunch Act, and then they're going to tell the district how much, or the department, how much their total funding deficit is. Then we go through formulas. You know, this is how they figure things. They're going to have a statewide reimbursement on line 23, and then these little eyes through all that, where they're going to report their deficit on line 4 on page 41. Then they go through formulas. They're going to subtract something in little 2. They're going to divide in little 3. And then we get down to E, where they multiply the number of meals. Once again, just formulas in here. Then over on page 42, there's an annual report. 602 has to do with rules and regulations, and then finally 603 on page 43 has to do with the appropriation. And that's what the First Amendment proposed, to take all that out. And why delete this? Well, I think that what we're doing here is we're just creating a huge bunch of bureaucracy. That's one reason that I don't think it's unnecessary bureaucracy. I think we're adding to the cost of education at what? At the expense of taxpayers. And finally, I think we're, and this is most important to me, I think we're usurping the role of parents. I think that they have a role in this and a responsibility, and I think that the system's working fine. I don't know why we're building all this into it. So I would urge your aye vote for this amendment.
Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I would, again, speak not in favor of this amendment. I would like to keep the funding in the model. I want to try to stay brief with comments, because a lot of this justification for the spending we talked about yesterday. An idea that came to my mind that might be a little bit of a different way of perceiving this is, a few years ago, as we were looking at the Department of Health Medicaid budget, it just kept growing and growing and growing. And it's like, so what are we going to do? We got to cut the budget. But when you cut the budget, you cut services. And who's going to get cut short? Is it going to be nursing homes? Is it going to be, who is it going to be? And what program is it going to be? And that's a real difficult situation to be in when you see these budgets growing and you decide then let's just make a cut. So the funding was left intact, but the request to the Department of Health was, please be looking at how you can manage this increase, how you can be more efficient, how you can do more with less. And I think that that's what this amendment does. When you look at all these details, which were well described by the speaker presenting this amendment, this does seem like kind of an onerous process, but this process is going to require that the schools be accountable, that they do the counting, that they come up with why they have the deficits. Apparently in June of last year, when the hearing was presented, the information was presented, all the school districts were having a deficit except one. And I would wonder, either all the school districts are poorly managed except one, or there is a problem with meeting the costs, the cost-based system. And I'm going to make a guess there's a problem with meeting the expenses, because we are providing breakfasts, because food is more expensive, because of the reasons we talked about yesterday. Again, this funding is for 1 year. We have made a message. We have sent a statement, I think, pretty strong to the schools saying, we're concerned. We don't want to see continued growth. We want to see accountability. I think they hear that, as opposed to just, let's put the money in and move forward. But with that, we're also saying, there was a report, we listened to it, we got the numbers back, we're willing to support it for 1 year to see what can be done, can these costs be cut, rather than take it out of some other program. And then in a year, with this information, with the funding, there'll be a report back, and the legislature, the committees, they can decide where to go with that. But I think for 1 year, we've made a commitment. We asked for a report. We got the feedback. We made a decision on that. And this was the deficit, the amount of money that was needed to continue this program. So I would ask for you to vote for this amendment, vote against this amendment, vote for keeping the funding and the wording in the bill so we get a report back, and that we can get there, and that we've made a statement that we want to have the feedback. Thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I know we had a good, thorough discussion about this yesterday, and when the representative from District 21 stood up, he mentioned that it took him a night of sleep to really get his mind around the issue, and I'm a little slower. It took me two nights of sleep, I guess. But I think there's a couple things worth commenting as we're looking at this $5 million per year in additional funding. And there's been talks about cuts, but this isn't a cut. It's additional funding. And so we've heard yesterday on the floor that really this debate was about the value of providing meals to kids. And I don't think that can be. I bet we'd get a pretty strong vote of support that having kids with full stomachs is pretty important to the learning process and is pretty important for us to accomplish. But remember, school districts are providing these meals now. They've been providing these meals, and they've been doing it without the $5 million in funding that we're looking at supplementing them with in this bill. So it can't really be about the ability to give these meals because the districts are already accomplishing that. And then we also heard on the floor that, well, this debate is about increasing the prices of meals for kids, and that if you vote down this $5 million of additional funding each year, that there will be a leap in prices for schools, for school district meals. But that can't quite be right either, because the school districts, they developed all these, their pricing and their costs without ever considering $5 million that we might or might not pass in some bill that probably hadn't been drafted yet. So it can't really be about increases in the prices of meals, because the districts set that before we ever even started talking about this $5 million. So what is the debate about? Well, the debate's about a program that our own consultants thought, our consultants who work in school districts and school systems across the country thought should be self-sustaining. They've seen these programs in other states and they thought, you know, our assumption is this is going to be a self-sustaining program. Yet what happened? They looked at it and they came back and they said, no, your system isn't self-sustaining. And why not? It's because there's some systemic problems with the program. And they mentioned a couple of it in the summary that we looked at yesterday. And some are higher wages than they're used to seeing for workers of this kind. Some are because school districts just don't have adequate accounting systems in place to keep track of what they're charging and what they're spending on these food programs. Districts are providing free meals to adults. So there's these systemic problems throughout this program that our experts who expected this to be self-sustaining have said, oh, it's not self-sustaining. And so what's our solution to that problem? Let's throw more money into the system. Does that make any sense at all? If we're looking at a bill that would address the problems that our consultants pointed out, that's one thing. And to demand reporting, to demand accountability, that's one thing. And that part of the bill is probably good. But I would submit that voting for this amendment gets us to a point where we can deal with the folks down the hall to require that reporting, to require that accountability, to fix the system without simply pumping more money into it. I would speak strongly in favor of this amendment and ask for your support.
Representative Hallinan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to speak on and for the amendment by my good friend from the neighboring Sheridan County. If we want this legislation passed in 2005 to ever happen, for these programs to be self-supporting, then we should support my good colleague's amendment. Human psychology is such, similar in this case to the subprime mortgage issue, as long as people have an incentive to use money inappropriately, they will. This money that is being in deficit now will continue to be in deficit indefinitely if we continue to pick up the tab. I think it's time for us to tell these school districts that we're serious about that bill that was passed in 2005, that the food services be self-supporting, and I would urge my colleagues to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, it's a great debate. We had it yesterday. I didn't speak on this yesterday. It's a tough issue, but the sad reality with schools today and frankly parenting today, is our schools have taken over some of that responsibility. My number one constituent sees some of these kids, provides medical care to some of these kids, frankly is an advocate for the students, for the kids that are frankly not well served by their own kind. I think this money is needed. I think having three squares a day or two squares a day or even one square a day at school is important. I don't like the way the school districts spend a lot of this money. I don't think the schools are necessarily perfect advocates for the kids. There are people within the schools that are great advocates for the kids. So, I know we're giving lots of money to the schools. A lot of it trickles down to the kids. I wish more would trickle down to the kids. But this is one of those little things that's going to help on and against the amendment.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I don't want to say all the same things I said yesterday. We had a very good debate yesterday, but I want to share with you a little information that I did receive from one of my school districts that is new, and I just thought it would be a good thing for you to hear. All but one of the school districts last June reported food service program deficits, and that seems to be a big issue. They're running in a deficit. Why are they running in a deficit? Are they mismanaged? Are they improperly using funds? And this particular district said it is not a result of mismanagement. Our district's charge for meals is among the highest rates charged in the state. But the number of student meals served per employee has increased steadily. Requirements for nutritional value and food safety have become more and more costly to comply with. We have a highly competitive labor market in our county, therefore we have to pay higher salaries. Federal support for the program has declined as our economy has improved. And that means fewer students' families will qualify for the income guidelines needed for free and reduced lunch programs. That's where a lot of the cost is going, and that's what we're looking to make up in terms of not having these districts operate at deficit and having to take the monies out of other existing programs. On and against this amendment, thank you.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I sit and listen to this debate, my mind wanders a little bit, and I go back to the time when I was in the fifth grade in Laramie. And I got up one morning, and my mother wasn't up yet, and I fixed oatmeal. I had a big pan of boiling water, but I put in too much oatmeal in the pan. So my mother got up, she blew up, she grabbed a handful of oatmeal and slung it. I ducked, and it hit my little brother right in the face. And the oatmeal was running down his face. And I was going to school, and just oatmeal every day, every single day for breakfast. And I'm thinking how lucky these kids are today that they can actually go to school and eat breakfast and don't have to eat oatmeal. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further food for thought before the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Warren.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know if I can equal the oatmeal story. I would say when you all go to the grocery store that a container of oatmeal today is significantly more expensive than it was 6 years ago. And that's what we're looking at in the schools. The expenses have gone up. Their self-sustaining goal has not been met. And they're asking for us to support. I think the families in Wyoming, the schools are asking for this support. I would ask for you to vote against the amendment for one-year funding, and when we do take the vote today, pursuant to 13A, Mr. Speaker, I would ask for the ayes and noes.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the conversation on this. You know, let me just quickly review some points. The bill has so many things in there that the Department of Education is expected to do. They collect all this data, and they have the strategic plans and evaluations. They're subtracting and dividing and multiplying and the annual reports and the rules and regulations. It just seems like we've made it so complicated. And so I think that that's something we really need to come back with something simple if we want to do this. This is just really rather incredible bureaucracy. Then I think that the other thing that we need to talk about is the cost-based model. Those things... Whenever you do that, on this sheet that I passed out, what will happen is the two first lines, the cost of lunch prices, will never go up because the state now is going to take over everything above that. And so there's no drivers for efficiency. There's no drivers for economy. There's no drivers for creativity. How else can we do something? There's no drivers for that because you don't have to. All you do is turn in your cost, and we pay. And that's a sad method to do things. But finally, what really has the most anxiety of all in this bill for me is that we ask parents to be the best they can for their kids. We ask them, you know, you're your child's first teacher. You're your child's primary teacher. And we have all these expectations from when they're real young all the way through 18. And I think that we just have this creeping hand of government keeps coming over parents. You know, now you're not expected to do this. And where do we draw the line? And I would just advocate that the other things in this bill, there's a lot of things that are really educational, but it's not here. And I would advocate that we draw the line here and have our parental responsibility and celebrate that and not put more on the school districts. So on and for the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 70 pursuant to House Rule 13-3A. The ayes and nays having been called, the Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks,
no.
Dockstetter,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Esquivel F,
no.
Esquivel K,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Eichel,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jones, Jorgensen, excused. Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Olson.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Philp.
Excused.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlick. Shepperson,
no.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
no.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Berger,
excuse.
Berger excused, Jones,
excuse.
Jones excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Thompson, aye to no. White, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Throne, would you... Representative Throne, would you please clarify your vote? Okay. Throne, no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 19 ayes, 37 noes, 4 excused.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Childers.
Pursuant to Rule 13.6, I'd like to explain my vote.
That is in order. Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, since we like to proceed with other rules, I'm going to explain my vote on this one. I vote for the reason because of the money issue. It isn't I don't care about the kids. And as I've explained earlier, after 12 years down here, we put a lot of money into it, and let's remember it's a block grant. And if we want to proceed with this other rule that's been passed, I'm going to continue to get up and invoke Rule 13.6. I voted aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I would also like to explain my vote pursuant to Rule 13.6. I voted aye to put this back in yesterday, and I did that because there was a process in the bill that I felt was important, but I wanted to see a third reading amendment that cut the money down, and I didn't see one, so I voted no. I voted aye to take it out again because I think it's important to have the process, but I didn't think there was justification for the dollars. And on the $4 million that was identified in that report, they couldn't tell us whether it was from diseconomies of scale or wages paid, and I think it's important to understand that.
Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, Rule 13.6, I'd like to explain my vote.
Please proceed.
I voted aye because I, first of all, believe it's a waste of money. I think it's unnecessary. Secondly, when I contacted my local business manager in my district, because I looked at the report, it said there were three that were operating in the black. Well, mine was one of them. So I said, hey, great job. He says, well, that's not accurate because the consultant didn't even visit a district. They just took the state report. He says, they didn't ask us how we fund our food service because we fund our food service workers out of the general, out of our general fund block grant money. So we're actually running the deficit, even though on the report it shows we're in the black. So I think we're dealing with fuzzy math, to quote another famous political speech. But anyway, so I think it's unnecessary growth and a waste, and I think it's been well said by the bringer of the amendment, and I applaud him bringing it. And so that's my vote. But it's, I love the kids, but I just don't think it's necessary. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Having failed a voice or a roll call vote, to third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 70 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 4. Representative Hammonds.
Mr. Speaker, that, there's an error in the order. It would be Representative Lovnow.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File number 70. And pursuant to Rule 13.3A, I am not going to ask for a roll call vote. Vote your conscience. I recently spoke at a DARE graduation, and I showed them items that were important to me when I was in sixth grade. I showed them an 8-track tape, a dial telephone, and a slide rule. And when I was a sixth grader, I did indeed have a slide rule because I was indeed the king of the nerds. I showed those sixth graders a slide rule, and they had no idea what it was. Had absolutely no idea. If you look at the cell phone that's sitting in on my desk, it has more computing power than all of the computers that were combined to run us to the moon in 1969. The world is changing, and we have to look at a new paradigm to educate our kids to prepare them for that changing world. And so Amendment number 4 is an attempt to give the kids, the our kids, tools to compete in a world marketplace. I will tell you that on the amendment that we discussed yesterday, the information on funds being available was indeed wrong. Summer school funds can only go for at-risk children. They can't go for anybody who doesn't fit in that box. And we define the box. It's our job to define what funds go in the box and out of the box, and I'm asking you to just put another box in there so that somebody can check the right box so that we can have good programs to allow advancement for our students. So today I'm back at the well with a smaller dipper.
What I am proposing to you is instead of a $3.4 million project that makes every school eligible, we have a $450,000 competitive pilot project. It's open to every school district in the state who wants to compete so that we can get competition among ideas for these monies to educate our kids. It's a competitive basis pilot project. Let's encourage competition and innovation in these summer schools. Let's send our children out to be prepared to meet the world that they'll live in. And so I would urge you to vote for this amendment number 4.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday when the previous speaker brought a program and I spoke against it and I was wrong in the information that I gave you. When we worked on recalibration and did summer school, I think I shared with you that we added enrichment to the remedial so that we would have summer school open to all these kids. And apparently, since my serving on the education committee, they had another model developed, and the education committee adopted a model where summer school is solely for at-risk kids. And I did not realize that. So yesterday I was incorrect when I said that that money could be used for these other kids. And so this morning when we were talking, we asked if we could come with an amendment that would revert to the previous model and we could have a debate about that. And that was not feasible because whatever we do has to continue to be cost-based. So this is the next best thing, and that is to say, let's have a pilot program. Because those of us who work with kids absolutely believe that you should have opportunities for them to be able to be enriched for our gifted and talented kids. I think of all the kids I ever recommended going to summer school, a lot of them just weren't ready for high school. They needed to improve their writing skills, but they weren't at risk. And now these kids wouldn't qualify for that program. And so through this, we will have several school districts that will be able to come up with pilots. Part of the bill says that you've got to keep all the data, you've got to have your research based, and then we will have an idea about is this a component that needs to be in summer school, and I hope that we can go back to the model we had before where we take care of at-risk kids, but we take care of those kids who are gifted and talented, and some of those kids who just need an extra boost so that they're ready for the next level of instruction. And so for that reason, I hope that you will support this pilot that will give us information to know if we need to correct the model that we've adopted with just dealing with at-risk during summer school.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, while this may be a pilot project, I think we've all seen pilot projects that turn into more than just pilot projects, and there'll be somebody come back next year that will say how wonderful this was and how now we need $15 million to make it go. And we will all have the political gun to our head, and we'll all say aye again, and down the road we go. And I don't think that's a slippery slope that I want to go down today, especially not on a third reading amendment. Summer school, in my mind, should be a time to catch up and a time for a student to be able to get to the point where they're ready to enter the next grade. It's not about enrichment. It's not our job to entertain people's kids for them in the summer. And I would ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The world is indeed flat, and you know, there in some of the talk there was there's 270 million preschoolers in India, nearly the amount of our population. This 450,000 ain't going to change that. And I would say there's $26 per FTE already in the model, cost-based for gifted and talented. 2.3 million statewide, and so this is another kind of 20% increase bump on top of that. At some point, we're going to have to say, whoa, Dragon, enough is enough. And part of our leadership in the world in education is not because of we spend more than everybody else, because we do, because we educate everybody. Our test scores, you can really divide them along racial lines and socioeconomic lines. Our best kids are the best in the world. Have been and will continue to be, and not even so much about our education system, but it's about our freedom. I mean, you can't in China express political freedom and religious freedom and then all of a sudden go to the shop for 8 hours and have some kind of, you know, intuitive freedom to think about new stuff. It just doesn't work that way. It's not in their culture. And thank goodness it's in our culture of freedom. So I don't think that's any part of this. I think the real issue here is, are we going to grow some more programs? Now, if we wanted summer school money to count to go to some enrichment activities like we used to do in this body, a simple little amendment with some language, because we increased summer school funding by $2 million in this bill. So a little bit of language to say, hey, $500,000 of this can be used for enrichment in the summertime. So this omnibus bill, when it's biennialized, $70 million, big ones, doesn't need this $450,000. And the money's already there, $26 per FTE. And we all know these kids are so doggone smart. They're smarter than the teachers, and their best teachers are their parents. And we've got money in the deal already, and so I would just say, whoa, Dragon, and urge you to vote no. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There were a couple of comments made by the last couple of speakers that could take up hours and hours of comment about babysitting and whether, you know, these kids are smarter than the teachers. Well, there are reasons why children are at risk. Whether you're 2 standard deviations below average or you're 2 above. And, you know, we don't even understand how we classify at risk, I don't think. We went from $10 to $25 per ADM in the model for gifted and talented. How has that been applied to the gifted and talented students across the state? Does anybody know? No. You don't know. Why not part of this pilot, you can use some of that gifted and talented money and direct it a different way? I'm not particularly enamored with the gifted and talented programs that are occurring in my community. And some of you may share those feelings. I think this gives us the ability to direct those things in a different way. I had wonderful experiences in summer school because my cousin lived in Boulder, Colorado, and they had this fantastic science school that any kid could go to, and I'd go a vacation down there with him. It was great. I learned a heck of a lot down there. And I also had science programs in Cody, and those were great. And I didn't feel like anybody was babysitting me. I felt like I was learning something. And I think it's important to have those opportunities for kids, especially we were all kids. We all know what summer is like, and we all know what an opportunity to learn as a child is like. Let's give them the opportunities. Why is it just limited to at risk? Let's step out of the box or jump into another box.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer a couple of the questions. When you say this is one more project that works and educates kids, I guess the response to that is if it works and it gives our kids an advantage and it's cost effective and we're required to prove it as this pilot project study shows, so what? That's the best way we can spend our money in this body. Summer school isn't anymore a time to catch up. It's a time to compete with the world market, the world as it existed when we grew up. Is different than the world now. And we have to come to grips with that fact, and we've got to give our kids that opportunity. The good representative from District 37 is right. There is $26 per FTE for gifted and talented education, but we can't use it for summer school because it doesn't fit in the box. And we asked to come with a simple amendment to change the language, as the representative from District 37 said. The nice folks from our legislative service office informed me that that was not possible. The only way we could do it is what's in front of you right now. And so I'm giving you the best that we can come up with. I know it's a third reading amendment on the last day of third reading. It's the first time we've seen this bill. If we'd have seen this bill at the beginning of the session, you'd be seeing and talking about the amendment then. I appreciate your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 70. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading, amendment number 4 to Senate File 70 has been adopted. Senate File 70 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger, excused. Blake. Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Eichel. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Philp excused. Korberg. Samuelson. Semlich. Shepperson. Simpson. Slater. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Warren. White. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 70, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 70 has passed the House. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege. Floor.
Please proceed.
Representatives, it's not often that a former student of mine visits this august body. Yes, it comes right after July. This is an accomplished musician. He has recorded beautiful and heartfelt songs, and I mean heartfelt. They're on CDs, and at this point in time, he has sent a little bit over 250 of these to, as he puts it, Wyoming heroes. Among those things that are on his mailing list is the 1041st here, our National Guard, and to many from different parts of our communities in the state of Wyoming who are over there, as the folks have heard about what he's been doing. Ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, another hero, Brian Ragsdale. Thank you.
Committee announcements. Representative Dirks.
Mr. Speaker, the House Democrats will caucus in open session at Poor Richard's. You're all welcome to come for another day of fine discussion and deliberation.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker, the House Republicans will meet at the same bat time at the same bat place with the same bat meal.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 3 p.m. for purposes of allowing some conference committees to work.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed say no. We stand in recess until 3 p.m. today.